Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we have one of my all-time favorite guests, Dr. Paul Kanger, who's a professor of political science at Grove City College. He's also a best-selling author. Among his books are God and Ronald Reagan, and he even wrote one called God and Hillary Clinton. And right now what we're going to do is unpack the New Hampshire primaries. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, sure, Jerry.
All right, so let's start with Hillary, since you wrote a book about God and Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
That was kind of the big news, wasn't it, really, from Tuesday's election?
Yeah, well, I think so. I mean, look, we had known that Sanders was polling way ahead of her. In fact, actually, Jerry, I'm surprised Sanders didn't win by more. Which
wow.
is a funny thing to say about somebody who trounced somebody 60 to 39%.
Wow.
But it looked like Sanders was even going to get higher than that. And I thought that if Hillary got anything above 40 and brought Bernie down into the 50-somethings, it might actually look a little better for her than people thought. So, you know, in the end, I guess the final numbers were about 60 to 39. It's still a crushing defeat. You know, who would have thought that, the almighty Hillary Clinton, this political juggernaut, supposedly, that the Democrats were crowning the next president, you know, 2013, 2014, who would think she'd have so much trouble with a 70-something old socialist from Vermont?
Yeah, it's true. Out of the closet, no less. The
right?
title, speaking of the almighty, what does your title actually mean, God and Hillary Clinton?
God and Hillary. Well, it's on her faith, and you know, you started interviewing me on this subject, and I think that's probably how we first met.
The Reagan one. Excellent.
That's right. I did a book called God and Ronald Reagan in 2004, and then I followed that up with God and George W. Bush, and then the publisher, which was Judith Regan's imprint at HarperCollins. They wanted more of these God and books, as they called them. And so I don't know if I ever told you this before, but they had actually asked me if I would write one on God and Laura Bush. And I said, no, that doesn't interest me. I'm really a foreign policy guy. And I told the editor, I said, but, you know, I'd like to write one of these on somebody that I don't like. or that I wouldn't vote for. I said, what would you think about God and Bill and Hillary Clinton? And the editor, I could just picture him jumping up and down in his seat. He said, quickly, hang up the phone, put that on an email and send it to me right now. And so eventually they narrowed it down to God and Hillary Clinton. But one of the things I wanted to do with that, Jerry, the whole point was this was a time when George W. Bush was getting beat up on his faith all the time. And liberals acted like the only religious believers in the country were, you know, quote unquote, fundamentalists, whatever that means. It's kind of the narrow binary secular window that the left operates through. And in the case of the Clintons, especially Hillary, I wanted the country to be reminded of something called the religious left.
Yeah.
And, you know, which, as far as I'm concerned, has caused enormous damage in America. Especially serving as dupes to more extreme leftist elements, but Hillary is a classic kind of social justice religious left. I think this is an oxymoron, but she would call herself pro-choice Christian. And you know, I wanted Americans to have a picture, a portrait of what somebody like that actually thinks. I can't say that I thought she'd be the Democratic nominee one day for president, but lo and behold, she's close to achieving that.
She was influenced and went from being a Goldwater gal, so to speak, to becoming very liberal because of a leftist youth minister.
That's right.
I learned that in your book, and it's very important to really kind of understand that. Okay, so let's go to the Republican side of things as far as the New Hampshire results.
Would you mind if I made a point on
that?
Yes,
go ahead. Yes, please.
Yeah. The youth minister was Don Jones, was his name. She was brought up in Park Ridge, Illinois, in a fairly conservative United Methodist Church back when the UMC was, you know, definitely one of the mainline denominations. I guess it's still considered one, but which was considerably more conservative than it is today. And, you know, the older people, the elders of the church, they were a little taken aback when they brought in this young, dynamic youth minister named Don Jones, who started, you know, pushing this kind of leftist social gospel on the kiddies. And, you know, of course, some people in the church thought, oh, they're being a bunch of old reactionaries, how closed-minded they are. Well, it's eventually Jones and that influence that has Hillary in just a matter of a few years changing from being her daddy's Goldwater girl to being a Wellesley College Alinskyite. Mm. So you know, this kind of stuff matters. You know, people think, you know, I've been through this at my church, other places where people think that certain parents are overreacting, and maybe sometimes they are. But you know, when you let your guard down in some of these instances, it can really blow up in your face. And it's absolutely done that in the case of Hillary Clinton.
That's absolutely true. Now, have you ever thought about like a book about God and Donald Trump? And I don't mean to be mean, but if you did, it would be pretty thin, I think. I don't know.
Yes. Well, I think it would be. Really, I think the more interesting
God and Ted Cruz.
Right, yeah, God and Ted Cruz, God and Marco Rubio. Rubio has a very interesting faith journey. He was even Mormon for a time.
I didn't know
his parents
that.
Choosing. Yeah, when they went to Nevada, they were in a Mormon neighborhood. Their Mormon neighbors were wonderful, great people, and they really just sort of fell in with that group. Rubio now is a pretty devout Roman Catholic. He's got a very interesting story. Ted Cruz is very evangelical. His father, Raphael, has an amazing story.
Yes.
In fact, both Rubio's father and Cruz's fathers, both from Cuba, have amazing stories.
Yeah.
But Trump, I think I'd probably wouldn't find a lot on Trump. I mean, he has been, you know, hardly an open book, definitely doesn't wear his faith on his sleeve, and has been pretty tight-lipped about saying anything on his faith at all.
And it's hard to say that, I mean, if you look at some of the things that he's gone through, you know, multiple divorces and marriages and so forth, it's just the casino operation, eminent domain, not for hospitals, but eminent domain for casinos and parking lots for casinos. I mean, people lose their houses because of, boy, I'll tell you, of all the vices in this world that I would ever have to hate to have, it would be to be an addicted gambler. And obviously, you know, everybody's responsible for their own behavior. And, you know, a gambler who is so foolish as to throw away everything, you know, ultimately it's their responsibility on the one hand. And on the other hand, we do have natural predilections to our sin. And, you know, I know that some who are addicted to gambling, there's something in their personality and so forth. But anyway, to profit off of people's vices is just not a healthy, hearty, wholesome way to advance humanity, in my opinion.
Well, that's right. And look, too, at a lot of those places, there are perhaps, if not quite strippers, or maybe there are, I'm sure, you have very scantily clad women. And look, we know what Las Vegas is like, right? So, you know, these aren't exactly in, you know, pious neighborhoods. While we're on the subject, how about this? Maybe you haven't thought of this, Jerry. What about God and Bernie Sanders?
This is amazing because this is like the first outwardly, essentially secular or, you know, non-theistic candidate, you know, of all. I mean, there is no God with him.
That's
so
right.
To speak.
I mean, he is. I'm trying to get a handle on this right now. I'm doing a little research on it. He is, he's Jewish. He's an ethnic Jew. He's, from what I can tell, a non-practicing Jew. So he's not a religious Jew. And I think he's probably at best agnostic. I don't know if he's atheist. I'm not sure about that. And I'm right now in the process of, finding some things on his parents that are very interesting. I think, there's a good chance here. I'm choosing my words carefully. That this could be that Bernie Sanders might be a red diaper baby, and I know some people are probably giggling as I say
that.
Yeah, but that's a common name.
Yeah.
From the communist movement and the far left. I mean, I've got close colleagues, Ron Radosh, David Horowitz.
David Horowitz, yeah.
Both raised in secular Jewish homes whose parents were communists, and they were raised, they would tell you, yeah, I was a red diaper baby.
Wow.
So I think that might be the case with Sanders, and I say might because I don't know for sure, but if this guy gets further, I think we're going to be really shocked the more we find out about him. We thought Obama was far to the left. Well, at least Obama didn't honeymoon in the Soviet Union.
Wow. All right. Let's talk about the results in New Hampshire, because I would love to, by the way, pursue all these other things in other days. But let's get right to it as far as Trump won 35%. John Kasich, there's the story there, 16%. Ted Cruz got 12%. Jeb Bush, 11%. And yet Jeb Bush spent $1,200 per each vote he got, whereas Ted Cruz spent, I believe, $18, according to Gary Bauer. Marco Rubio, 10.5%. And Chris Christie and Carly Fiorina, as I understand it, are now going to drop out of the race because they did not do that great. It was 8% for Chris Christie and 4% for Carly, and Ben Carson got 2%. Your comments on Tuesday's results?
Yeah, well, Chris Christie is dropping out now that he went in and blew the whole thing up. So Christie went in on Saturday night with the goal in the debate of taking the legs out of Marco Rubio. And he did. And that's a disaster because this race today should have been down to Trump and Cruz and Rubio, because those are the top three. But because of what Christie did, which ended up destroying not only Rubio but his own candidacy, Kasich got 16, and now, unfortunately, he's not going to leave the race. He's going to keep hanging on, and he doesn't have a chance. Bush got 11, and he's going to keep hanging on, which is too bad because he doesn't have a chance. But those two both will continue to get votes that should go to Rubio, and Trump will continue to get votes that should go to Cruz. I mean, really, Trump pretty much caps out at about 35%. But as long as there's eight other people in the race, Trump is going to continue to win these. And so Chris Christie, who should have run for president in 2012 but didn't, and instead hugged and bailed out Obama in 2012, has once again walked in and fouled everything up. So now he can go and sit back and suspend his race after he's made an absolute mess of things in the Republican race.
That's interesting. Now, there is an interesting thing. If you were to add up all the non-Trump people that, that placed in different, that came behind him and so forth, that would be about two-thirds of the voters. In other words, two-thirds of Republican voters said no to Trump. Only one-third
right.
said yes. Although, he got the most amount of votes.
Right.
Do you see something in that?
That's all you need when there's eight other people in the race.
Yeah.
And with Farina dropping out and Christie dropping out, we today should also have had Jeb Bush out and Kasich out. Mm-hmm. But they're both in because of Christie taking out Rubio or lowering Rubio.
Well, let me say this though. Now Rubio himself said he did a bad job on Saturday night, and he was too repetitive, and he took full responsibility, and he promised his supporters he'll never let that happen again. But
yeah, he did. I think he. Well, I know he's taken the high road there. I don't think he was all that bad. I thought he was actually pretty good. But, Chris Christie took Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican, and threw it on the ground, jumped up and down on it, grabbed a baseball bat, smashed it about 1,000 times, spit on it, and then ran out of the room, and now he's back in New Jersey suspending his campaign.
Wow.
So I'm not real happy with Chris Christie.
So what do you really think of Chris Christie? No, I'm just kidding. By the way,
I've always liked him. But the guy has terrible timing. Really has an ability to not get in at the right time, mess things up at the wrong time, and also too, there's and you and this station, Jerry, you, as a social conservative, you'll appreciate this. One thing that Christie did that I haven't forgiven him on is that he's banned. He has banned consultation for young people in his state who are sexually conflicted and have same sex attraction. If you have a son who's 15 years old in New Jersey and feels like he might be attracted to other men
and wants to fight that attraction,
right, and would like to go get counseling about it or talk to a counselor about it, that is now illegal in the state of New Jersey because of Chris Christie.
Wow. And New York, by the way, is contemplating the same type of law, but that's awful. Well, Paul, thank you so much for your insight, and always good to hear from you. Visionandvalues.org for more information. Dr. Paul Kanger of Grove City College. Thank you, Paul.
All right, Jerry. Take care.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.